required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God's word for God's people. Thank God for Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And I want to present a question that was presented to me on yesterday to you out there in radio land. And I want to ask you today, what are your future plans? What are your future plans? You know, this man that we just read about, that Jesus gave the parable of the rich man that had all this, these plentiful crops, and, you know, he had stored up things enough for many years, the Bible said, to come. So he was getting ready to retire and just live what he called the good life. Hallelujah. But how many know there's a duplicate good life and there's a real good life? Huh? Hallelujah. There's a counterfeit good life and there's a real good life. Hallelujah. And so he had these plans to take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Hallelujah. But how many know the Bible also says in Psalm 62:10, B, it says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon it. Don't set your heart upon riches. Don't put your trust in riches. Hallelujah. Because as soon as this man put his trust in riches, death came on the scene. He died physically. But even if we're not dead physically, death is on the scene if our trust is in riches. And then even one translation, I believe it's the Message Bible, says in verse 21 that he, where it says he laid up treasure for himself, say he filled his barns with himself. He filled his barns with self. And so that's where death creeps into our lives. When we start walking in self, when we start deciding, you know, that we accomplish this and we accomplish that. And so nobody, you know, we're invincible. We got everything we need. We don't need anybody else. We don't even need God. Praise God. And so this man had come to this place and God called him a fool. So I ask you again, what are your future plans? Because his plans were to retire, take his ease, eat, drink, and be married. He was planning on living a long life. But we got to understand, we're not going to be on this earth forever. And for some reason, a lot of us are planning to be here forever. We've got to make some changes in our life. We've got to make some choices, different choices in our life. And we've got to choose this day whom we're going to serve. We've got to choose this day whose bone we're going to connect to. As you were talking about earlier in church today, in at the Coliseum today,
amen,
in the service, Apostle G, that we've got to choose, hallelujah, which side we're going to be on. This man had chosen the side of mammon. This guy had chosen his riches. He had put his trust in his riches. Praise God. But another thing that we need to see is what Jesus was trying to tell the guy that was saying, caused my brother to give me what a part of the inheritance that I'm due. And Jesus looked at him and talked about covetousness. Mm-hmm. He saw the spirit of covetousness operating in this guy's life. And what we don't want to do is walk in that spirit. What we don't want to do is walk in a spirit of greed. What we don't want to do is live to collect money, clothes, stuff. Hallelujah. It's all right to be rich, but our heart should not be set on our riches. Our trust should not be set in our riches. Our trust should be in God. Our trust should be in Jesus Christ. Our trust should be in him that created us. Our trust should be in the one, hallelujah, who can bless us, hallelujah, not just only physically, but spiritually, hallelujah, that can bring, hallelujah, healing beyond that of a physical doctor. Our trust should be in the doctor of all doctors. Our trust should be in the Lord of Lords. Our trust should be in the King of Kings. Our trust should be in the very one, hallelujah, that's able to do everything but fail. Apostle G.
I'm looking at that verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Meaning that if you take all your time and pour into all your resources and basically your 401k and your stocks and your bonds, and you just have this huge nest egg, and you, like the man in the Bible today, you planning on to retire, you go fishing, travel the world, you got all this stuff planned, but it's saying you're not rich toward God because you're not laying up things in the kingdom. You're not laying up fasting. You're not laying up prayer. You're not laying up studying the word. You're just not laying up the things of the kingdom. You're not building up your most holy faith. You're not building up your regular faith. You're not building up your belief. You're not rich. Like we always say, if you find two friends in this world, you're rich. And the word is saying today, all our material stuff, all of our materialistic stuff, it means absolutely nothing. When it's all said and done, you can't take it with you. You leave it here for people to fight over and fall out over.
And that was a question there. Whose will it be? Who's gonna get all of the stuff that you work so hard for? Who's gonna get it?
And you have not laid up nothing for the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where the rust and the moth cannot eat and corrupt. But we don't like to do that. We try to lay up everything for retirement. But we're not, like you said this morning, Apostle, I don't think people are thinking about dying. They think they're going to live forever.
We're going to live forever. Not in this realm.
Right.
We're the ones that know Jesus. The ones that know Jesus. We're going to live forever. Just not in this realm. We've got to make a transition. We've got to move outside of here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when we move outside of here, we want our transition to be precious. Like it says in Psalm 116, we want it to be precious in the sight of the Lord. Hallelujah. When a saint dies, when a saint goes to sleep, it's precious in the sight of God. That's a precious moment to him. And the Bible said he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. When you have not known him, when you have not spent time with him, when you have not accepted him as your Lord, as your Savior, when you have not got into relationship with him and you leave this world, praise God, God does not take pleasure in that. He's brokenhearted about that. Praise God. It's not his will that any of us should perish. And so that's why he, in the parable, this man is referred to as a fool. That man that doesn't accept Christ, that man that doesn't receive God or doesn't recognize God for who he is a fool, because he's not taking instruction from God. He's not taking direction from God. He's not hearing from him. You are a fool. You're walking in self. You're laying up treasures for yourself. You're walking in your own self agenda. You're walking in your own self mindset. You're walking in your own self attitude. And this brings death. Death came on the scene because this man was walking in self. See it from a spiritual perspective. It was a physical situation. But when we are not rich toward God, death is abiding in our life. Death is abiding in our life. And the question here is, again, what are your future plans? The Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? What does it profit that man? Gosh, something going on. God is doing something in me right now with that. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit that man? The Spirit of God is weeping. The Spirit of God is crying because it doesn't want you to lose your life. It doesn't want you to end up like this man in this parable. Hallelujah. Leaving stuff behind that you had put your trust in, but never put your trust in God. God is calling for you. He's calling for you to make a choice today. He's calling for you to choose this day life. Choose this day blessing. He is the one that can give life, and he is the one that can give it more abundantly. So I encourage you today, choose life, because in that life that Jesus is going to give you, that abundant life, everything is there. Everything is there, what you need. Healing, peace, joy, his love, his miracle working power. Everything. Hallelujah. And remember that today is another day of miracles. God bless you.
TAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river of God.
Hey, everybody. Oh, okay. Welcome, everybody. It's time for Living the Good Life. And I'm sorry, I was talking to our dear friends, the McKays, and didn't get my microphone turned off very quick. So I'll blame that on them, those sweet people. We love them. We had church last Sunday morning at Beacon of Hope with the dear congregations that the McKays have. And oh, what a joy we had. And let's see who's on the air with us. If it's Cindy or is it Betty, who are you?
I am Cindy.
Hey, Cindy Henderson. So good to hear your voice. We missed you. Last time you were supposed to be on, you couldn't for one reason or another. And we're glad to have you back on with us today. And you've been a Beaconite for a real long time. Many, many years now, haven't you?
I have. It was because the phones went down that day.
Oh, that's right. The phones went down. That's right. We've had some.
Right.
We just had a big, bad rainstorm, and a bunch of us were in a local restaurant. And I still have my clothes are wet, and my shoes are wet. My hair looks like I just got out of the shower. And I'm not kidding you.
Good thing it's radio, huh?
Yeah, it's good thing it's not on TV. Nan is in there today. Nan, tell them I look like a drowned rat.
She looks like a drowned rat, but she still looks good, Cindy, to let you know. Do I get brownie points
no
later
doubt.
For that?
Yeah, you get brownie
I have
points.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you
I'd rather have brownies.
Oh, you'd rather brownies. Okay, well, we'll see what we can do. But you're in Idaho,
get the point.
Well, if you would come to church next Sunday, we're going to have a church dinner after, so you might get brownies that day. We're having pizza next Sunday.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a little sing-off after church next Sunday. People singing, and seriously. And just kind of having fun and having some pizza. And we like to do a lot of fun things at Beacon of Hope. So if you're out there and don't have a church home and would like to visit, we would like to have you join us. We are at 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater, right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. Closer to Drew than Sunset Point. And it's Weaver Park Drive, and you go down there, and you'll see a leasing office, and we are like next door to that, and we've got a sign over the door. You can't miss it. It says where healing happens. And by the way, Cindy, that's our new slogan. We're going to be getting some new shirts soon, and when we do, we'll get them to you. Where healing happens. And so we're excited about everything God's doing, and we had an amazing day last Sunday with our dear brothers and sisters, the McKays and their gang. And I'll tell you what, Nan, we had church.
Oh, did we have church. Cindy, you would have loved it. Oh, my gosh, it was fantastic.
And yeah, I saw.
Did you see a couple clips? I put a couple clips on Facebook. And if you haven't checked those out, go to my post, Marcia McAllister, or Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you will find a couple clips there from last week. And so, yeah, we encourage you to do that. You can get an idea of how crazy it was and how wonderful it was. And God moved mightily in that service. And we're so excited about today. Betty will be joining us. In fact, she's calling in right now. So, Nan, say something, will you?
Hi, Cindy. No, I tried to praise God. We have had, we had a wonderful service last Sunday. The two congregations meshing together and just coming together and praising the Lord. And God moved mightily in that service last week. And then this morning we had start a new series, and we just had a fantastic time this morning in the Lord. It's so exciting to be able to go to a church that is alive with Jesus Christ living in it.
Thank you, Nan, for saying that. And it's so true. And so this is the radio broadcast weekly. We're in our 13th year on this radio station. And Beacon of Hope Ministry is the name of the ministry. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me today is Betty Thomas from Michigan, part of our ministry. Cindy Henderson, who you just heard from. You'll hear from Betty in a moment. Also a Beaconite, but from Idaho now. Everybody seems to move away from us, Nan. I don't know. Is it you or me? What's the deal?
It's not us. It must be someone else.
It must be someone else.
Probably Pastor Jim.
Yeah, we'll blame him.
He's not here.
He's not here to defend himself. So, we'll blame him. So, anyway, and Betty, are you there? Are you on the air with us, Betty Thomas?
I am on the air live.
Yes, you are live.
Thank goodness I'm alive.
Yes, we thank God for that, too. Betty and her daughter Megan have been down here. You've been down here 4 times this year, and hopefully you'll come back.
Hopefully for a 5th before the end of the year.
I hope so, because you know what? We sure have church, and so excited about what God's doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the show. We thank you for the opportunity to be on the air, so that countless numbers of people can hear your word. We thank you for our dear friends, the McKays, who just wrapped up their show. We ask your blessing on them continually. Lord, we just ask your blessing on this time together right now on the air. We believe that you will get done what you want to get done in this show today. You are alive. You are our almighty God, and we love you with all of our hearts. Woo! Hallelujah. We're going to start with a very old song, but it's one of my favorites, The Voice of Truth.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Listen. so true. Says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen.
Woo! The voice of truth. Yes. And that voice of truth is the voice of Almighty God, His Son Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that talks to us and walks with us on a daily basis. We're starting a new series today, guys, and it is called Set Free. And it's been on my heart for the last few weeks that we need to expose some of the tricks and schemes of the devil, because the voice of truth, which is God's voice, is stronger, and it is right on compared to the voice that the devil puts in our ears from time to time. We are going to John 1:14 to start with. John chapter 1, verse 14. And I love this verse. And I'm in the Amplified Bible today. I kind of have brought that today. That's what we're going to talk from. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, which is Christ, became flesh, human and incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, and lived a while. See, that's the Amplified Bible, so it's adding some things here, explaining the words. He lived and among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty. Such glory as the only begotten Son receives from his Father. Here's the point I want to get to. Full of grace, favor, and truth. And in other translations, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We're really going to be talking about that in this series, because Jesus came to show us truth, to talk truth, to explain truth, to live truth, to get us to desire truth on the inside of us versus the lies and schemes of the devil. Talk to us, Cindy, because there's so many times we get caught up listening to those lies and schemes, don't we? How important is truth, yeah. Cindy? How important is it?
Ultimately.
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's truth is, it's what keeps you from being deceived. It's
right.
Truth is what we all try to get to. It's what people try to get to in a court of law. It's what people try to get to in a relationship. It's important in every aspect of our lives. Nobody wants to hire someone who's not truthful.
Amen. Right.
You don't want someone handling your finances who's not truthful.
Right.
So it's so interwoven with everything about us that, it's vital to our survival and our existence.
Well, think about it. If you go to a doctor and you get some tests done, a lot of us have done that. We get blood tests or we get x-rays or whatever the case may be. If you cannot trust that your doctor reads the test correctly and says to you, oh, yeah, you're okay, and 6 months down the road you find out that the doctor just didn't even bother to read your test. He told you you're okay, but he hadn't even looked at the test. How would that turn out for you, Betty? Let's talk about that. Let's give that metaphor a whirl here.
Well, I think the first word would be devastation.
Yeah, right.
Because you want authenticity when you are wanting to deal with the truth.
Right.
And I think that it would cause you to go into a state of unbelief because, you trust in a physician or whoever you go to, like for your blood work or your x-rays or so forth, that you trust them to give you
right.
the truth.
right.
that they would, you know, that's their job, is to give you upfront and truthful information. And that's what we depend on. And that's why we depend on Christ, because he has, you know, he is the truth. He speaks the truth. He is the truth. And he expects us to be truthful also. So that I would expect that anyone that you talk to, that if they did tell you that you were okay, and then 6 months down the road you became very ill, that you would question the people that gave you that information. And I think that that's what Satan does to us.
Exactly.
Is that, you know, he feeds us a line of lies and deceitfulness. And that's why that we depend on the voice of truth coming to us from Jesus Christ himself and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And one of the things that's just really been in my heart the last few weeks is that so many, even in the body of Christ, and I want you both to comment on this, even in the body of Christ, Christians, so many people are so used to listening to the devil's suggestions, because that's all he's got, suggestions, that they just think that's normal when the devil says, oh, you're so sick, you're going to die. Oh, I guess I'm going to die. Or, you know, you have so much to be upset about. You should be depressed because look at this, look at that. The devil suggests all kinds of things like that. Talk to us about that, Betty, because, I mean, this is common. And the body of Christ is common in people who are not saved, but it's also common in people who are.
This is a commonplace today, Pastor and Nan and Cindy, because we're so used to, and I had a pastor in Newcastle tell me this, that God leads and Satan rushes.
Oh, that could have been me, couldn't it? Might have been me.
Could have been.
Could have been. I think it was.
But
yeah.
we look at the first thing. We don't bother to pray. We don't bother to delve into the Word.
Right.
We just take the first thought that comes to our mind. And sometimes we run with it. And sometimes we just become overwhelmed with the first thing that comes to our mind. So what you do is you have to, I've always test things before to make sure that,
absolutely,
is this exactly what you want me?
Yes.
Is this what you want from me, God? Is
yes.
This, and listen, and we have to listen for that still small voice. Mm-hmm. We have to pray. We have to get into God's Word and say, God, is this the truth? Am I thinking outside of the box? Am I inside the box? Where am I on this? And it's because I think we do. We just take the first thought that comes into our head, and we run with it. And that's not the way it should be.
You're right.
At least that's in my opinion, Pastor.
No, you are exactly right. And some people think that if the thought came in their head, it had to be God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have a natural emotions and natural thinking, which is our old flesh, that can get drive us right down the wrong path. Right, Cindy? You want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, and you all know I get migraines.
Right.
And I'm actually fighting one right now.
Well, we take, wait, whoa, and, whoa, wait, hang on.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We take authority over that.
Amen.
Right now in the name of Jesus.
Go for it, Betty. Go ahead. We take, go ahead. Corazón.
Ora, para Sunday,
yes. Yes.
Father God, I just thank you and I praise you that as we pray right,
yes,
now,
amen,
that migraine dissipates.
Yes.
It goes away.
Amen.
That all of the tension and everything that is mounting with,
yes,
Cindy right now is gone.
It's gone.
It dissipates.
In Jesus'
because
name.
The blood of Jesus covers it all.
Amen.
And I just pray right now, Father, that that blood that covers her right now, that your hand is upon her, because she is the healed one. I am declaring it now.
Amen.
Over the airways that Cindy,
that's
Henderson,
right,
will no longer suffer from migraines.
Yes.
That the blood of Jesus runs through her veins.
Amen.
Through every vessel in her head. And I just claim healing for her right now in the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
She's
we agree.
Declaring it with her mouth and declaring that the word of her testimony today is that when the ladies on the radio prayed for me, Jesus came through, and my migraine is gone in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. We're agreeing
Hallelujah.
On that right
Praise
now. We're
God.
Two or three agree is touching anything. There he is in the midst. And so, Cindy,
yes.
we declare right now, you have suffered long enough with migraines in your life.
Yes.
Why not let that power over your life break right now? Because this whole teaching is about breaking the strongholds and the principalities and the powers in heavenly places that stand against God's people and try to pull us down and keep us from teaching and preaching the true word of God, because we might be sick, or we might be lonely, or we might be depressed, or we might be whatever, 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 right? So, Cindy, what is the confession of your mouth, Cindy Henderson from
Amen.
Idaho? What is it?
That those migraines are dead.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We agree right
Amen.
Now. We agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that said, go ahead. Go ahead. Do you want to add to that?
Yes. And I've what I've learned is that when I feel a migraine coming on, my mind or my mood is it becomes one of doom, basically.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, because you know what's coming. Yeah.
Right. And I've learned that I can't make decisions with a migraine.
Right.
Because those decisions are affected by the pain and the
yes
that sense of doom and gloom
right
that hits with the migraine
right.
And it's like that in our spiritual lives, where we have to stop and go, oh wait, I cannot make that decision right now because I'm in the midst of the devil putting lies in my head. I'm in the midst of the devil trying to tempt me to do something I should not do. And we have to learn, we have to train ourselves, but you know, this no, if and it goes back to that the devil rushing you. He makes it seem very immediate that this decision needs to be made right now. You have to decide on this relationship right now. You have to, you know, you have to decide are you going to go to this event right now? And he uses that to deceive us into doing things that if we stop and take a minute, we would realize, no, wait, this is not a decision I can rush into. And I just need to stop and say, okay, Lord, what do you think? You know, what's up here? Is this you? Is this me? What's going on? And,
well, that's wise when we slow down.
Don't rush. You can't rush.
Don't rush.
Into
Good point.
You know, it's a recipe for disaster.
Right. It's a good point. And the devil wants us to be sick, people, on the airwaves. Listen very strongly during this teaching today and in the next few weeks, because your life will change drastically if you get a handle on the devil's purpose versus God's plan for your life, okay? The devil's plan is to destroy you. John 10:10, I think I quote that verse every week on the air. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, meaning the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows. So you've got to understand the work of both the devil and God and the teachings of Jesus, which were, he walked this earth to show us the Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, what they are trying to communicate to you being truth versus what the devil continually tries to do in our minds, our emotions, our circumstances. You got to learn the difference. So I really encourage you to stay tuned, not just today, but to the next few weeks as we do this series called Set Free, because the goal is to be set free from migraines. Maybe you're one that's got chronic illness, chronic pain. God wants to set you free. I'm declaring it right now. Maybe you're one that's had digestive issues forever. God wants to set you free. I am declaring it right now. Maybe you're a one that is constantly falling into depression where you just want to go to bed, pull the covers up over your head, and forget that life is going on around you. I am declaring right now, God wants to set you free from depression. Some of you are thinking, Pastor McAllister, you are crazy. No, I'm not. You know why I'm not? I've lived it. I've lived it all my life. In my new book that just came out, Strength for the Fight, I talk about growing up on the mission field and seeing in Guatemala, seeing people delivered, seeing people healed right in front of me as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid, watching things like this. It never left me when I saw the power of God at work. And I will tell you, audience, I didn't intend this to go this way, Nan. I don't know what God's doing here, but I am telling you right now that God wants to set people free. He is not putting disease on you. He has no disease in heaven to put on you. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 before we go to this next song. And then we'll bring Cindy and Betty back in. And Nan, if she's wanting to comment here. John 8, 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word. Okay, that is huge. There's a whole lot of if then statements in God's word. If you do this, then this is going to happen, right? I will tell you, when I started college, they said, if you stick with this, you will graduate in 4 years, right? If you go to your classes, I remember orientation at Ball State University when I was a freshman. If you go to class and if you take good notes, which I've drilled that into my three kids, take good notes. If you stick with this, go to class, do your best, study, you will graduate with a degree, right? That's how you get a college education. You do all those things, right? And Jesus said right here, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. We just finished a whole series on becoming a disciple. How do you become a disciple? If you had to put it in a nutshell, in a little tiny capsule, it would be this: abide in the word. Live in it. Make it yours. Memorize it. Study it. And verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Listen to this song by Zach Williams, and then I'm coming back with this gang here, these Beaconites, ready to talk to you more about John 8, 31 and 32. Chain Breaker, one of my favorite songs.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight.
wrong, the things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Do you know the chain breaker?
Personally, you better bet you I do.
Has he ever broken any chains in your life?
You know, I know that sounds, it sounds very peculiar, but almost every day. Because Satan tries to tie us
yes,
up.
Yes, he tries.
To condemn us, to make us feel condemnation or make us believe that we are not the healed one, that he wants to undermine everything that God does. But that's why we have to remind him almost seems like 70 to 80 times a day, you know, get thee behind me and understand that I am a child of God and that I walk in victory, that I am a success. I am a beloved of Christ. And, you know, it just seems like that as time goes on, that we are always under some kind of demonic attacks from the devil. And it's just like today, you know, the Lord did not want me on the radio.
The Lord didn't want you on, or the devil didn't?
No, Satan. Satan did not want me. Let's clarify that. About the Lord on the radio. And I said, no, I will go on, and I will be at church if they have to carry me in on a stretcher. I said, I will not miss hearing the word of God. And that makes Satan angry.
He hates it. He hates it.
He hates it. When we get angry enough and we want to be set free from something, you know, he gives us a free will, and he gives us a choice. I choose life. I choose the truth, and I want to be, and I do. I want to be set free from all of the attacks of the enemy. And, you know, the closer we get to going home, to heaven, the more attacks is going to come against us. And that's where we have to be prepared. And I know you talked about this in Bible study, about putting on, you know, in Ephesians 6, putting on the full armor of God. We have to do it daily, people, because the attacks are going to come at us right and left, because the closer we get to Christ, the matter that Satan gets.
It's so important that we get the truth of God's word down on the inside of us. I'm going to go back and read John 8, 31 and 32. And then Cindy, I'm going to come to you for your comments here. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of like being a sports fan.
Okay.
You have your favorite team. You immerse yourself in that team. You've rooted for them for years and years. You buy the gear. You watch the game. And it doesn't matter how bad of a season they're having.
You're still.
Nobody can tell you that is not the best team in the whole wide world.
Yep, yeah, go Rays. Because, yes, go Rays. Because, baseball.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. I'm a Rays fan from all the way out here, you know. and it's because you have indoctrinated yourself. You have submersed yourself in that particular team. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. If you know, we do what those verses say, then we are convinced that of the truth, that these attacks are from the enemy, not from
right.
God,
right?
And that they are meant to deter us and detour us,
right,
from the mission in life that God has purpose for us.
Amen.
And they are meant to get us off track.
Yes.
To get us upset, scared, angry, depressed. Because, I mean, it's stated very clearly that the devil has one mission: steal, kill, and destroy.
Exactly.
Because he knows he's defeated. He's a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross. And now his whole purpose in existence is to create havoc and chaos in the lives of God's people.
Amen. So, you know, it's so interesting to me because I'm a little older than all of you, but which is hard to say, but it's true. But just by a tiny little smidgen. But anyway, having walked with the Lord basically all my life, from the time I was about 4 years old when I asked Jesus into my heart, from that point on, I have seen so much through the years, and I know we can all say we have. Growing up in church, seeing people who just lived defeated lives, seeing people who were constantly ill or constantly going through the same struggles over and over again. And there is a passion within me when I talk about healing and deliverance and the ability of God's word to set us free. And then I want your comment here in just a moment if you want to comment on this, because it is so easy to get into our daily routine and our lives of being busy and jobs and kids and grandkids and not take time to be in the Word of God. And then we just stay in the same, like, it's a bad movie just going over and over again, right?
Yes. You know, when y'all were talking earlier, I was about to bite at the bit and want to say something, but I'm really not on the show today, so I didn't. But you're talking about bad things happening.
That's all right. You can say something.
Well,
God told you to come here, so you're supposed to say something.
Yeah,
all right.
He did tell me to come here, didn't he? You know, talking about bad things happening to people, I was raised that, and I remember hearing it so many times, such and such happened to so-and-so because they sinned, because they did this, uh-huh, because they did that. I was raised with that all my life, you know, and I thank goodness through sound teaching at Beacon, I have learned different. I've learned the truth. Will I say back to my parents that? No, they're 81, 82. Let them believe what they believe. You know, I'm not going to even broach that with them, but I'm glad that I know the difference, you know?
Right.
So that's
which
all.
Is going to take us to the book of Job. So let's talk about Job, because Job is probably the oldest book of the Bible. Not sure exactly who wrote it, but we know the truths in it are amazing. And Job is, at the time that this saga begins, Job is the wealthiest, most successful person in the land. Nobody has ever known anybody more successful than Job. Have any of you ever known some people that were just totally successful? Everything they touched turned to gold or made money or whatever, right? Job was like that. And in Job chapter 1, we find out that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys. He had all kinds of servants, and he was the greatest of all the men of the East. That's wild, okay? Now, we find in the book of Job, and it's a place I want to start with this series, because it's like a curtain is drawn back in heaven, and we can see a conversation here between Satan and God. Now, we know from the book of Ezekiel that Satan was one of the angels. He was one of the, probably the, one of the most talented and prettiest one, would you say, Cindy? Do you want to comment on this, Cindy? Talk to us about Lucifer, Satan. And by the way, guys, don't mess around with Satan because he doesn't play fair. Go ahead.
No, I would think that that would be right, because he, if he weren't, I don't think he would have gotten the idea that he was God.
Right.
I think he was somehow more, he was elevated in the angelic realm to a place of authority and power. And, you know, if he were lower down, I doubt he would have challenged
exactly
God.
And doesn't it say in Ezekiel that basically he was minister of music in heaven?
Mm-hmm. He was the worship leader.
Worship leader. And you know what's interesting about that is that the devil hates worship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely hates us to worship God. We had an attack on our music situation system for the last few days, where we were not able to play music for today's show. For our service this morning. Long story short, it did get settled and straightened out and fixed late last night, but this went on for 4 days. And the devil hates powerful worship music, okay? Because he gave that up to foster a rebellion in heaven. And in the book of Ezekiel, there is an accounting of mutiny in heaven. And so Satan now has a different job. Now, we know that the Adam and Eve ate of the tree of good and evil, so they knew the difference here, and it's good versus evil when it comes to God and the devil. And I want to look at verse 6 of Job 1, and then we'll go to you, Betty. Now there was a day when the sons, or the angels of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan, the adversary and accuser, also came among them. By the way, I'm in the Amplified Bible. If you take notes, write down that Satan is known as the adversary and the accuser of the brethren. There's a verse in Revelation 12:10 that describes that Satan is the adversary and the accuser of the brethren. Satan is not your friend. And let me throw this in right here. Don't go to psychics. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't go to clairvoyance looking for the answers to your problems. That's the devil's work. Cindy, you want to comment on that before I get back to Betty here in a minute? Go ahead, Cindy, if you want to comment on that old thing in Deuteronomy, which we're told not to, that's witchcraft. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom went to a conference many, many years ago, and the speaker was a woman who had been a psychic.
And, wow.
Yeah, she said that when she got into it, it was just a way to make some money, and that she actually was visited by demons who would tell her what to say and who promised her that whatever she said, the devil would make it come true. And so she was in that for many, many, many years before she was saved. And so she had a very firsthand warning for the ladies of that conference that this is nothing to mess around with.
It is not.
Right.
It is absolutely the devil that is involved in that. Even if you get into it innocently, people who play around with Ouija boards and
right, stay away from all of it. Yes.
Yeah, you can't. It's not something. It's not harmless. It's not something to play around with.
That's right. And we'll talk more about that maybe on another show, because I firmly believe in deliverance, being set free from things like that. And we'll talk about that another time. But I want to get back to this point. Thanks, Cindy, for adding that. In Job chapter 1, Satan, the adversary and the accuser, comes. And God says to Satan in verse 7 of Job chapter 1, if you're following along, where'd you come from? Satan said, oh, I've been walking around on the earth. You know, I've been checking things out. Okay. Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? He's blameless. He's upright. He fears God. He abstains from evil. And then Satan answered verse 9 of Job 1, does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, Satan is saying, well, the reason he loves you, God, is because you've blessed his life. Okay? We should not love God because of blessings. We should receive blessings and thank God for them, but we don't. It's not a, okay, God, I'm going to love you because I want you to bless me. It's not like that, okay? And we go through here and we find in chapter 1 and 2 that the devil says to God, I want an opportunity to test Job. I want to see if he has bad things happen to him, will he turn around and curse you, God, and walk away from you, God. Now, the good news of the book of Job that is 42 chapters long is that Job stands firm. And that's good news. And anybody that is interested in this, read the book of Job. It will help you tremendously. But Satan was allowed to test Job with terrible things that happened. All 10 of his kids were killed in a storm. All of his cattle and all of his possessions. He was reduced to nothing. Talk to us, Betty, about this and how the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. That's the mission of the devil. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, again, he is the adversary. He is the accuser, just like it
Amen.
Says in Job.
Amen.
And if we don't understand that, then you need to study, you know, Job 1 and 2, because it makes you realize just exactly how vulnerable that we are when we don't have Christ in our life. And if we don't follow his truth and his promises and rely on him for that hedge of protection, that we're like sheep out in a pasture with no protection whatsoever.
Right.
And that's why the Lord wants us to be so close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to get the word down in us.
Absolutely.
He wants us to realize that he is the truth, the light, and the way.
Right.
And that he wants us to be aware of our surroundings and what Satan can do to us every minute of every day.
Amen.
And once we get that vulnerability, he will, the test come, and that's when we have to solely rely on Jesus Christ. We cannot, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his spirit.
Zechariah 4:6, great verse.
Yes, ma'am. And he wants us, he loves each and every one of us. I can't emphasize enough how much that God loves us and how much he wants protect us from Satan's power. And
woo, amen.
When we come to the realization that we have the armor of God, we have the word of God, we have praise, we have worship, when we use the weapons that God has given us to fight the devil, that we are victorious,
mm-hmm.
that we are the warriors that God has called us to be, that a lot of us and are on the front lines on a daily basis.
Right.
And some of us do get wounded, and some of us go behind that line of grace that we talked about, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We stand behind that line of grace because God is in our front. God yes. isn't before us. He's behind us. He's to the left or the right of us. So we have to depend on him solely, not on, it's not on our own power that we stand. It's because of his power.
Amen. Woo! I bless your name by the group Selah. This is one of your weapons, dear ones. You got to learn to praise God in the midst of whatever's going on. Love this song. Praise is one of your weapons. Write it down and start doing it.